This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Hey, I didn't pay attention. Today is Groundhog Day. Did he see a shadow or not? He did. What does that mean? I don't even know. More winter. Okay, but I heard it's going to be 70 degrees this week, so maybe he's wrong. All right, so just enjoy the day. Good to see you guys. Today we are starting a new series. If you're in a small group, there are not only message notes, but there's small group notes as well on the tables. In the lobby, there are little black notebooks if you want to keep everything in those, designed for that. So for small group people, not small people, it's small group people, right? You can write down things, verses, things that you want to share in the small group and take that with you, but they're open to everybody. Today's series, we're going to be doing this for the next few weeks. We're calling it, What Do I Do When? And the basic understanding is that you and I will go through times of trouble, we'll face challenges, we'll go through obstacles as part of life. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you're lonely? There's a lot of different topics we're going to be covering, but we're ideas to give answers that come from God. And I had several people say, is it going to be depressing? And so I want to address that right at the top. The answer is no. It's a short answer. It's not going to be depressing. I think it's going to be the other way around. I think because we all face things, we do want to know the right way to tackle things. How do you move forward? And so we're going to just dive into God's promises. We're going to trust God. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He does have things we need to know in order to move forward. So that's what we're going to look at. And I hope every day you walk out of here encouraged and ready to go, because you're either facing something now or you're going to face something. For the verse, for our key verse for this series, we're going to look at Philippians 4:13, which I know is an extremely popular verse. I mean, people know this one. It's out there. It's so easy. It's so nice. But there's more to it. And it's a verse that you can memorize really quickly. You can put it on the bathroom mirror. You can put it around your house. Maybe you already have it on the wall, so that when you do go through something difficult, you can look at this and go, oh, yeah, I have a promise from God. It's going to be okay. So this is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's read that together. Are you ready? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To give you the background as we look at this, the Apostle Paul wrote this while he was in jail. He was writing to the church in Philippi, which he had planted, and he's probably facing loneliness. He's probably tired, maybe discouraged. Some people had left him, so he's a little bit lonely as he's writing this. He's thinking back about the problems. He's worried about this church, anxious about it, what's happening. And so when he writes this, kind of understand the context. In your small group, you will look at the context of this verse. Basically, it's this. I can endure all things. I can get through all things, because Christ is going to give me the strength I need to do that. That is the context of this verse. So as you are facing the things, you can kind of stop and go, okay, God, what are you doing? I need your strength right now. I need Christ to give me strength in what I'm facing and what I'm dealing with. And we'll deal with all kinds of questions and things during the next few weeks. Now today, I always believe God has you here for a purpose. And so you guys are here for today. Here's the day's topic. What do I do when I'm worn out and weary? Does anybody relate to that today? I'm worn out and weary. Okay, and your second service. All right, that's good. So you made it today, and it really is interesting. We put out a survey to the church and said, what do you guys want to talk about? Here's a list of things, add on to it. And of the responses we got back, 78% said that they deal with this issue. What do I do when I'm weary and worn out? And I think we've all been there at some point, right? Where we're tired. One more thing is too many things. Where people are coming to you and you don't have all the answers and you're trying to think through stuff. Or maybe you've been going, and you're just exhausted. And you may be exhausted physically, maybe exhausted mentally, too many decisions. You may be exhausted emotionally, too many problems in your family or your people around you are going through so much, and just piles up and it piles up and it piles up till it gets heavier and heavier. Or maybe you're exhausted spiritually and you've been asking God for some stuff, and instead of it happening the way you ask him to, it's going the opposite way, and you're going, man, God, I don't know how long I can hang on. And so there's a lot of different ways to be tired and worn out and weary, right? And if you're dealing with all of those at one time, you're physically tired, emotionally tired, mentally tired, spiritually tired, I just want to say thank you for coming today. You got out of bed. I'm so proud of you. You were able to come because you said there's something that God wants me to learn, or God wants me to hear from him, some verse he wants to take in. Now, you guys realize this. There's a good kind of tired, right? What is good tired? When you've done what you knew you needed to do that day, if I could just talk, right? If you could accomplish something, you did your purpose, you accomplished your job, You worked in the yard, and you could step back and look at it and go, man, I got done what I was supposed to get done, or God told you to do something, you're able to accomplish it, or at the end of the day, you look at your house, and it's neat again within reason where people can see it at least. And so at the end of the day, you're going, okay, I'm tired, but it's a good tired because I did some stuff that made me tired. There's also a bad tired when you guys have all experienced this, I know, where you did absolutely nothing. And like you were bored and you had no purpose. End of the day, you just go, I'm just tired, and you didn't do anything. And then you feel guilty, right? There's a little bit of guilt going in there. And then what we're going to talk about today is this kind of tired. It's when it's day after day after day after day. It's chronic tiredness. It's chronic fatigue. It's not just one day, because we can all get through one day. It's not 2 days. It's not three. But it just goes on, and you're just exhausted. And on the outside, yeah, you look great. On the inside, your world is falling apart. What do you do then? What do you do then? They did a survey last year, 2,000 people in the United States, on this idea of being tired. And the survey came out this way. They said the average American is tired 1,460 hours a year, which breaks down to 4 hours a day. And so people are going, this part of my day, every day, I'm tired. 4 hours a day. It's like, that's a big chunk, right? And not only that, three times a day, they say, I'm tired. It's like, maybe you've already said it once. You only get two more, okay? Or you're going to skew the average. But it's like every day you're going, I'm tired. I'm tired in the morning. I'm tired in the afternoon. I'm tired at evening. So you state it three times. That's the average American. The average American, about 58%. Said they can't enjoy life because they're so tired. Almost two-thirds of Americans are so worn out, there's no joy. It's just drudgery, get through it, get to the next day. Get through it, get to the next day. And you're so exhausted, there's no joy. There's 33% of them said they've learned to push through. They've learned to push through. They're tired, but they just learned to push through, just keep going, and learn to find the strength in that. Brené Brown is a sociologist, Dr. Brené Brown. She wrote a book called The Gifts of Imperfection. She described in that book this thing called the dig deep button. And this is how it's defined in her book. The dig deep button is a secret level of pushing through. We're exhausted and overwhelmed. And when there's too much to do and there's too little time for self-care. So you're burdened, you got a lot going on, you can't take care of yourself, and you push the button, right? You push the button and you're able to get through that day. And the next day you hit a wall, but you push the button and you make yourself do it, and then you get tired, and then the next day you're doing the same thing. And in her book, she basically says you can only push it so many times until you're completely worn out, right? Because what does the button do? It works on adrenaline and cortisol, which is the stress hormones, right? So you're stressed all the time. What does stress do to you physically? High blood pressure, your mind won't stop. So all these things, then that hurts your health. And when your physical health is not good, then that adds to being tired, right? It all kind of combines. So you can only push that stress button, that dig deep button, so many times. So here's what I'm speaking to a group of people. Some of you are just tired and you're worn out, maybe for a day or two, or some of you for longer. Some of you live with people are completely worn out. And every day you hear, I'm tired, and they can't do anything. And that affects you because either you have to pick up the slack or you say, let's go do this. And they go, I can't, I'm too tired. So you're struggling with it as well. Or maybe you have someone in your office that's always that way, so maybe there's some advice that you could give as we work through it. I'd really be surprised if God doesn't open the door for some of you this week that you're going to be around someone that says, I'm tired. You go, okay, let's talk about it. We just talked about it in church. Tell me what's your story. And God will use that to help you be deployed. So that's what we're going to look at today. What do you do when you're worn out and weary? Now, today we're going to talk about three things that you need, we all need, that God's going to give us as we follow his word and as we do what he's asked us to do. And they're going to be on your outline. So think about your own life when we go through this. First thing that we need on your outline, number one, when I'm worn out and weary, I need to rest, which I know is obvious, but we need to talk about it. I need to rest. Rest is a good thing. Some of you don't have time to rest, and you need to take time to rest. When you look at the life of Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, right? In John chapter 4, Jesus is leaving Jerusalem. He's going to Galilee up in the north. Normally, everybody would go around Samaria. He's going through it because God has him on a plan to meet someone. He doesn't know that. He gets to the city of Samaria, okay, after a journey. And John chapter 4, verse 6 says this. In that town of Samaria, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, notice what it said, tired from the long walk. He was just like you and me. He was tired from the long walk, which means he was physically tired, right? But then it says he sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Can you hear him sigh almost? You ever done that? You're just worn out and you sit down. And that's Jesus. In this passage, he sends his disciples into town and says, go get us some lunch. I'm going to sit here. And we know he met the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman. But they have to go get lunch for him. And he doesn't mind asking them. He says, I just got to rest. And maybe you felt like that before. I can't do anymore. I'm just going to sit here. And you ask somebody to do something for you because you don't have the energy to do it. That's Jesus. And so he can relate to you. And you can relate to him because he's been there. In Mark chapter 6, later on in his ministry, we see a situation where he sends his disciples out two by two to go preach in different towns. So they're splitting up. And for the introverts in here, think about how tiring this would be. You go to a town, you preach to people you don't know, and then you have to stay in somebody's house you don't know. I mean, the introverts are going, that'd be horrible because I got to talk to people I don't know. And when do I rest, right? Extroverts are going, this is the greatest job in the world. But they went out and they preached and they were away for a period of time. And while they're away, Jesus hears the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, has been executed. And they all come back. And when they came back, he kind of looked at their faces, I guess, and he knew what he was feeling. And in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, he said this, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and do what? Get some rest. You need some rest. You've been out there. Let's hear what you did, but you've been working hard. Let's go over here off, in their case, probably in the wilderness, away from the town. And he goes, I need to rest. I need to rest too. Come with me, because he was emotionally tired. And you've been there where you're just like, I need to get away. And it's okay, because that's what Jesus did. He took time to rest. Obviously, if you look at the Old Testament, look at the Ten Commandments. What's one of the top 10, right? Take a Sabbath day and get some rest. It was so important to God that he says, you need to do this. When God created everything on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. As an example to us and a call to us, you need to rest. Some of us don't take any time to rest. We go until we got nothing left to give, and we get worn out, and we get weary. In her book, again, The Gift of Imperfection, or Gifts of Imperfection, Brene Brown wrote about something we can do when we're in that kind of situation. She called it get digging, and so she took the word dig and created an acrostic out of it. So here's the three words. She said, get deliberate, get inspired, and get going. So let me just talk about that. Get deliberate, get inspired, get going. So in other words, you and I need to, when we're weary and worn out, we look at our schedule, be very deliberate, and go, this is my schedule. Where do I rest? What time do I rest? Where do I go for rest? How do I get rest? For some people I've talked to, like, their job is wearing them down. And I'm not talking about one day. This is over years. Being deliberate means to get together as a family, go, is this healthy for me to keep staying at this job, or is it time for me to look for something new? Because I'm just worn out every single day. You got to get deliberate, be ruthless, and look at your schedule. When are you taking time to rest? Are we doing what God asks us to be? And then she said, be inspired, to get inspired, meaning pray, read some good books, do some positive things in your life, get away from scrolling, right? Because there's a time where we're just so scrolling, we're not resting at all. Get inspired, do something better, because here's the deal, there are life-giving rest and there's time-wasting rest, right? There's life-giving rest where you're quiet, you're out in the woods, you're with God, you're just spending time with him, you're praying, and there's time wasting. Maybe you've done what I've done before. You go, I got a few minutes, I'm gonna turn the TV on, and there's a binge show I'm watching, so I've got 1 hour, I'll watch one, and when that show's over, what does it do? Countdown to the next episode in 20 seconds. And you go, oh, maybe I do have another hour or 40 minutes. I think I'll watch more. And what do they do at the end of the show? They put the cliffhanger. So then it goes, oh man, I can't turn it off. Now I got to find out what happened and I need to go to bed. But what, 40 minutes is not going to kill me. So I stay up. Have you ever done that before? You ever FaceTime or Facebook something and you're scrolling or watching videos on YouTube and you go, I got 15 minutes and 15 minutes becomes a half hour and that becomes an hour. And the whole time your brain's engaged, you're not really resting. All right, so I'm not telling you to go throw your PS5 away. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Don't take it too far, but I'm just saying be really deliberate and get inspired and look at your schedule and go, God, help me see what I can cut if I don't have time to rest. Then it says get going, meaning you got to do it. It's one thing to have a plan. It's another thing to action it, right? It's one thing to have a plan. Yeah, I got to do this. I've been talking about it for weeks. Now I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to get some rest. I'm going to take some time. Rick Warren put it this way. He said, divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. Divert daily means to take time every single day for rest. Here's the deal. Like he would say, or in part of this, it would say, like, if you are going to work and right before you go in, you know it's going to be stressful, get there 5 minutes early and just sit in quiet and pray. Now, if you're the kind that pushes things the last minute and you're reading a book, you're watching a video or something, you wait till the last minute, what you're doing is rushing. Rushing makes you more stressed. Get there early, plan to get early if you can and pray. Or on the way home, before you leave to go home, 5 minutes in the car, just be quiet with the Lord. Divert daily, quiet time. We stress, have a time with Jesus every day. Call it what you want. Spend time in prayer. Be quiet. Go out in nature, sit on your back porch, wherever it is that place is. But every day, build in rest. Withdraw weekly is exactly what it sounds like. Take a Sabbath day where you're not working. If you got chores, it's okay to let some chores go, right? You need to find a day that you can rest and just be quiet. And then abandon annually, like try to get away on a vacation if you can. Many of you are able to do that. Some people don't have the money to go away, so just stay where you are, but say, I'm not doing the big projects. What happens in our culture is you go, I got 2 or 3 days off, I'm gonna do this big project, and you go back to work to do what? To rest. It doesn't work that way, all right? So it's fun, I love having fun, I love going and doing fun things, but just know you need to rest on your vacations too. It's not about just going and doing everything. But divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. And the question I want you to ask yourself today, are you finding time to rest? Are you finding time to rest? If you need help in this area, spend time with God and go, God, when can I rest? Second thing you need and I need is to be resilient, which sounds like a contradiction. Be resilient. I love that word. In our family ministry in the elementary classes this past month, they talked about resilience, and they defined it this way. Resilience is getting back up when something knocks you down. Like you get worn out and tired, get back up. It's just this constant getting back up. I'm worn out. Okay, get up again and get up again and get up again. Make sure you're resting, but sometimes God is teaching us something to keep getting up. Keep getting up. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says this, the godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. So you're worn out, get back up. Worn out, get back up. You rest, get back up. Sometimes our body says, stay in bed, right? And yet our spirit says, get back up. Because when you step out in faith, God meets you there, right? I don't feel like it. I don't feel good. Have you ever done this before? I can't get out of bed. And then you do, and God meets you there. be resilient. Over in the Learning Center, a lot of times I help with math. I don't know why I'm chosen, but I'm chosen. And we got a couple little boys, and their math is always in Spanish. Everything's in Spanish, and I don't know Spanish, so I make things up half the time. But with the math, I can figure it out. But they had, these two little second grade boys had three-digit addition, right? So three digits, hundreds, tens, ones, plus, whatever. And instead of adding them in columns, they're teaching them how to do it spatially. So there's a number line. And you take the top number and you put it on the line, and then let's say the number's 394. You're going to learn something today, okay? You don't need it. But what they taught them is that you take that number and then it's 300, so you make an arc plus 100, another arc plus 100, and a third one. So that's the 300 every time you write down the answer, okay? And you keep it flowing. And here's the deal. On the homework, it said 394. So that means you have to do 9 times plus 10, all right? So they're drawing these little arcs. These are little second grade boys with fingers that don't work quite right, and the number line is not very big. So they're drawing these little bitty arcs, 9 of them plus 10, and every time they have to add 10 to the number and then add 4 little arcs for the plus 4. Okay, wear me out just even talking about it right now. So they would do it, and I'd go, let me see, and they'd show me the answer, and I'd go, it's not right. It's not right. What's wrong? Let's look at it. And their little scribbles, right, because there's no room to write, they would get numbers mixed up. They would forget. Instead of 9 times plus 10, they would do 8 of them. They got tired. And they'd bring it back up. Is this right? No. Where'd I mess up? Let's look, and we'd find it. And it's because they'd written their numbers together, and it looked like one long number. And so you go, let's get another piece of paper. We'll start over, and we'll draw it sideways. And now you have a bigger line because they can't write small. And after a while, they look at me, and they go, I'm done. I go, I understand. But you got to get your homework done. That's what we're here for. I'm here to help. And they kept coming to me, and they were like going, I'm worn out. I go, I get it. I get it. And finally, they brought it up to me, and I go, that's right. You did it right. Now, teachers in your room, plug your ears, okay? Don't hear this. I don't really care if they learn how to do three-digit numbers in that fashion. I don't care if they learn how to do it. It makes no difference to me. Here's what I care. They learned resilience, right? I want them to be able to add. As long as they can add, I'm great. I want them to learn when you get worn out, you keep going. And they won that day, right? They had a victory, so check it off. Do you ever think that God wants us to do the same thing? He wants us to do the same thing. Sometimes things are hard. And they are hard in relationships. They're hard in life. We get knocked down. And he goes, are you going to get back up? Are you going to get back up? Are you going to get back up? We have coaches, right? I talked to a coach first service. And the coach's job is to do what? One of us to teach him the sport. The main thing coaches do is try to get the best out of an athlete. Therapists, you're the same way. If you're a physical therapist, I'm going to try to get the best out of them. There's more inside there. There's more that they can do. And I want to draw that out because there's more possibility. Do you ever think God's trying to do that with you? I'm tired. God goes, there's more. You've got more. You just don't know you have more. You're tired. I get it. But can you go further? Because I want you to learn resilience. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote this in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, you name it. This would fit any week that we're doing in the series. Being tired is a trouble. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why is that a good thing? Next verse. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When your faith is tested, when you don't think you can go any further, when you don't think God's going to show up, you're going to grow your endurance. Now, resilience is getting back up, right? Endurance means you keep going. They're very similar. You need both. Resilience, get back up. Endurance, keep going. It has a chance to grow. When you're tired, it's a good thing because you have a chance to grow. And then he writes, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, when you go as far as you can go, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Meaning God gets more and more out of us. We can do more than we think we can do. And that's huge, right? That's huge. You have more in you, God's saying. I'm going to help you. Don't give up. Keep getting up. And let God grow us. You know, General Patton said this. He said, look, fatigue makes cowards of us all. You know what I mean? Like, when you're tired, don't problems seem bigger? Has ever happened to you? Like, every day you can solve a problem until you're tired, then it looks like it's too big. I can't deal with this. See, faith and fear are the opposites. So when we're worn out, we go, I'm afraid. And God's saying, that's the time for your faith to grow. Let me work in your life. The last couple of weeks, I've been reading a book called Blind Courage. It's about a man who lived in Burlington, not too far from here. Interesting story. He grew up kind of in difficult circumstances. By the time he was in 30s and 40s, he had been married four times. He was a manipulator in his life. He would just use people. He owned a couple of businesses, and then he found out he had a degenerative eye disease, which led to complete blindness in his middle ages, 30s, 40s. And because of what he was dealing with, he became an alcoholic. It's how he saw things. He had a job. He owned a business. He would go there, come home, and just drink in the darkness, right? Not able to see. And it's an interesting story. His son, a grown-up adult son, became addicted to cocaine and checked himself into a facility, and then they had family week. They invited their families to come down, and Bill decided to go. He had to have somebody drive him down. And for the family week, they kind of interacted, and the therapist, we're talking to Bill, they go, do you have a problem with alcohol? Are you addicted? He goes, No, I'm not. I don't really have it. And he knew all the answers, so he just told them whatever they wanted to hear. At the end of the week, they went around the circle to have everybody introduce their families, and when it was his turn, for whatever reason, he goes, my name is Bill, and I'm an alcoholic. So the first time he ever admitted it, and he began to get on this trail of, I want more out of my life. I'm out of control. And he went to a retreat center here in the mountains of North Carolina, and while he was there, one of the counselors led him to Christ. And he goes, I need Jesus. And he gave his life to Christ and did a complete 180. Ever known anybody did a complete 180, and their life is totally different, and they're a different kind of person? And he wanted to do more for his life. He didn't know what, but he felt God was calling him to something totally different, and he wanted to change. One day, his son wanted to go to Galax. You know, Galax just across the border in Virginia. They had a music festival, and he and his son and the son's family went there. And Bill had at the time a dog named Orient, seeing eye dog. So they went up there. And it's right by the Appalachian Trail, if you guys know that. Runs from Georgia up to Maine. It's 2,100 miles long. And while he was there, Bill goes, I think God's called me to walk that. Completely blind. No one blind had ever done it before. In a continuous thing. Not like I'm going to hike it and stop. It's like I'm going to do it in one time. And they ask him why. And he told the people around him, he goes, I want to be on Jesus' mission. I don't know who I'll meet, but I think I'm going to meet people. And when they ask me my story, I'm just going to slip it in that I'm doing this hike because I'm thankful that God changed my life. And we'll just see what happens. And so in March of that year, he found himself and his dog Orient on the Appalachian Trail. Now, think about it. They had been trained to walk on sidewalks. And when they got to the end of a sidewalk, the dog was trained to stop before he continued on, and then Bill was completely reliant on that dog, and the dog was really smart. Can you imagine being on a trail? You can't see. Trails are sometimes hard to find when you can see. And they took off, and they walked, and Bill said he didn't actually like hiking. It was just what he felt called to do. And as they went along this trail, almost every day, guess what happened? He fell, and he was what? Every single day, at the end of the day. What do you think? He was tired and worn out, right? 10 miles, 12 miles, through the snow, rain, all these things. And they rested from time to time, but every day he got tired. He would fall and have to get back up. Fall and get back up. 2,100 miles. They left in March. They finished the day before Thanksgiving. Every day, they just got back up and kept going. Now, the dog was smart. When the dog didn't want to walk, he would like slink off a little bit and like pretend he couldn't hear. Because every day they would start off with this command, hey, Orient, you want to go for a walk? And most of the time the dog would come to him. Sometimes he would just stay in a curled up ball. And they would say, okay, we're going to rest today. But then we're going to get up and walk. He told that story. He's passed away now. He told that story thousands of times to millions of people that heard about God's faithfulness and helping him complete something that seemed impossible. Now, I don't know what that makes you think about, but I think what I do is pretty easy compared to that. So we all need rest, and we all need resilience, every one of us, to keep getting up. What can we do? How much more does God want us to do? So rest and be resilient. The third one is the most important one. For those of us that follow Jesus, the third thing we need is to rely on Christ. It's not up to us. Our verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is like where we go when we're worn out. Our key passage for today, this is one, if you're in small group, you're going to look at it. If not, you might want to make a note of this and look at it later. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. And I want to take a look at that and get a little closer to it. Isaiah writes and says, have you not known? Don't you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. I love this part. He does not faint or grow weary. In other words, like, he always has the strength you need. He never runs out of energy, of power. Like, he never gets tired. So he's always there. He's always awake. He is your source. He is my source for strength. He is your source for strength. His understanding is unsearchable, meaning we can't know everything about God. He knows everything about us. He knows when you're tired. He knows when you're discouraged. He knows where you're going, where you've been. He knows all that. It's beyond our understanding. He knows exactly what you need right now. He is the source of everything we need when we're tired. Next verse, this might be one you want to have in your prayer life. He gives power to the faint. If you faint means you're about ready to be done. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. It's a great promise, isn't it? That when you and I are tired and worn out, we can go to God and he's going to help us even when we're almost done. Next verse just tells us happen to everybody. Even youths shall faint and be weary, right? They get tired. Young people get tired. And young men shall fall exhausted. So old, young, doesn't matter. If we're pushing ourselves to the limits, we will get tired. It's a human condition. But verse 31 is really where we want to land. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a great promise? Look at the end. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. You ever watched the eagle? We do have eagles here at Mount Trashmore over there. You guys know what I'm talking about? There is a family of eagles over there. You guys know what Mount Trashmore is. Okay. If you're not, see me later. There is a family of eagles live over there. If not, just think turkey bustard, okay? You ever seen them soaring? And they go up, and what don't they do? They don't flap unless they're taking off. What do? They soar. And they put their wings out, and the only thing they move are the finger feathers at the end, right, as they ride the winds. Why would God want us to know that we're going to soar like eagles? They ride the winds. You ever seen a hummingbird? What does a hummingbird do? Flap. If they stop, what happens? They can't soar. So they have to keep the wings flapping all the time, and some of us in the room, you're more hummingbird than you are eagle. Right? You're just constantly flapping, trying to stay afloat. And God said, I want you to soar like an eagle. You're trying. And it's good to try. Be resilient, but you're not relying on me. I want you to soar. Because when that happens, you're going to run and get tired, but you're not going to be weary. I'm going to give you strength, and you shall walk and not faint. You're going to be able to keep going because I'm going to do that for you. The key verb here is the word wait. And it's a word that means in Hebrew, it's the word kavah. It does mean to wait on God. It can sometimes be translated to look for. Like, you're looking for God. You're looking for God to work. You're going, I can't do this. I'm looking for God. To hope, like, okay, I hope that he's going to show up. It's not me, it's him. And to trust, which is a lot of your translations will put trust. When you go, I'm at the end of my rope, I am tired and worn out. That's when you turn to God. And that's when you soar. When you're able to admit, I can't do this. I am wearing myself out. God, I need your strength. When you go back to Bill's story, interesting thing that he learned that I hadn't learned is because he went blind as a middle-aged person, he had lived most of his life being independent. I've got it. I'll start my own business. Divorced four times, yeah. And I'll start over. I'm an alcoholic, but I won't admit it. I'll just fix it. He was so used to being independent. Those of you that are parents, don't you ever have your kids go, I can do it myself. Let me do it. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us carry that into adulthood, don't we? God, I got it. I don't need your help. What Bill had to learn when he went blind is this: he couldn't do it. If you're not blind, if you don't have something like that, you're going, I can still do it. He had to learn, I can't do it. I have to ask other people. I have to ask somebody to drive me to where I'm going. I don't know how to read Braille. Somebody's got to teach me. I don't know how to hike when you can't see. How do you do that? How do you pack? How do you know what's in there? And so he had to keep asking people. He learned to be humble. And then when he had his dog Orient, he had to learn these three fingers. He kept that on the handle, the harness of his dog, and he had to trust his dog wherever they went, right? So on the AT, on the Appalachian Trail, how do you do that when there's no stoplight to tell the dog what to do? This is what he thinks the dog learned. On the Appalachian Trail, there's a mark on the trees, 2 inches wide, 6 inches long. It's white. He thinks the dog learned how to read them. He thinks the dog goes, okay, that's the right trail, because sometimes there'd be a side trail, and they would get there, and his dog Orient would just stop, even if they were walking with other people. And he wouldn't move forward. And they would look around. The other people that could see, they go, oh, the trail's over here. He had to learn to trust the dog. There were times where he fell off a cliff, and he just reached out, and he grabbed hold of a branch, and he grabbed it. And he just said, I had to rely on God every single day. He had to pray every single day, God, help me. Bring people in my life that know what I'm doing better than I know what I'm doing. He had to ask God to, like, when it was snowing, God, I need a place to stay because I'll freeze to death out here. And maybe they'd come by a cabin, or somebody would stop by and come stay here, or I'll drive you here. And so he was totally reliant. And what it taught him is rely on God. If we are so independent, we'll go, God, go help somebody else. I'm good. We'll miss out. And we'll be worn out. And learning to rely on God is where he wants us to be. That's his hope for us. So as we kind of wrap this up today, I want us to think about, as you look at your life, if you're worn out and tired, just because it's a couple of days, that's understandable. If it's been a long time or it's chronic, then I'm going to suggest that you look at your schedule. Where are you resting? Start that today. The most spiritual thing that you can do sometimes is rest. Second thing is, be resilient. God may be saying, I need you to go further because your endurance isn't there yet. There's more inside of you than you know. So keep going. And it may be that you're just trying to do it all yourself. And he's saying, rely on me. I'll take care of it. I'll give you the strength. So as we look at this series, each week we're going to say, what does God say? What is God's promise and how do I do that? Today we're saying, God wants you to soar like eagles. He wants you to keep going. He wants to give you strength. And he wants you to rest in him. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word and the promises of your word. I pray over this group here today, Father God. Bless them with rest. Bless them with rest in their souls and their bodies. Draw them closer to you. Father God, give them resilience and endurance. Make us all stronger, Father. Bless them with that, your strength that's unfathomable. It's unending. You never get tired. You never grow weary. I pray that they'll be strengthened by you. And I pray, Father God, in the midst of this, we'll all rely on you. Our faith will grow, that when we're worn out and tired and weary, that you're going to show up in some fashion. And you'll bring someone in our life that will help us at just the right moment, or you'll open a door. Something will show up that we had no idea, a new job, new situation. But give us the strength to wait on your perfect timing. Father, bless each person here today. Give them strength for today in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Today is part of the series. You know, we mentioned last week we do communion every week. That's what the first church did. And as you do this today, I want to kind of let you hear the words of Jesus and maybe give you a different way of doing communion today. Jesus came to his followers in Matthew 11:28, and this is what he said to them. And maybe this speaks directly to your heart. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So maybe that's you today, and I want you to think of a burden like a backpack, right? Like it's filled with the burdens that you have. And if you ever had to help a child like pick up their backpack, some of these have incredibly heavy backpacks. And I just want you to picture in your mind that you've got all the burdens and you're worn out. Before you go take communion, just picture in your mind that Jesus says, give it to me. Give me your backpack and just put it in the chair. I'll carry it. So think through all the things that are in there, the worries about family, worries about home, why you're tired, questions that you have, and just put it all in the backpack and go, Jesus, you said to come to you, and you will carry the burden, and you're going to give us rest. And once you've done that in your spirit, once you've prayed through that, then go take communion and be reminded of his promise that you will be given rest. So let's pray. Father God, just even in our mind's eye right now, in our spirits, just show us the burdens that we're carrying that we're not meant to carry. The people in our lives that we can't change because only you can. The things beyond our reach, the open doors that only you can open. The healing that only you can bring. The touch that you want to do in our life. And I pray that you'll show us those burdens that we've been trying to carry and help us to put it away from us. Put it next to us perhaps in our mind's eye, in our spirit, and just hand them to you. In your word, you say, cast all our cares on you because you care for us. So we want to do that. And then a reminder of how much we mean to you in sending your son Christ to live and die for us. And that's what we observe in this time of communion. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you're ready, when you've had a chance to pray through those things, then go have communion and find rest for your souls.